From Balland to Magpie, 3BA's Big Show. More Ballarat.
Big Show special guest this morning joins me from the land of the long white cloud over in Wellington in New Zealand. Her name, Rebecca Campbell, entrepreneur, founder of a startup, delivered TED Talks. She's named as a woman of influence, has successfully written many, many blogs, I should say. Rebecca Campbell, good morning to you.
Good morning. Lovely to chat.
And lovely to chat to you. Thanks for your time. Let's start firstly, before we get to the reason that we're having a chat this morning, you guys are now in lockdown and joining us.
We are. So we've been in Sydney. I've been living in Sydney for 20 years and my husband is from Sydney, but we moved to New Zealand last September for his job. And so we've been celebrating our freedom, but then last night, we all got locked down, so we're joining you.
Bet you're regretting that decision.
Yeah, it's been very quick here. One case, and then all of the whole country is completely locked down.
Becca, I've got to say, Jacinda Ardern has not mucked around. How did you feel when you heard the whole? And let's not forget, there are two islands here, separated by water, but she went the whole hog. Everyone into lockdown because of one single case.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think she did say that you know, New Zealand does have the advantage of being able to learn from Australia because we're the last to get the Delta variant. And so, you know, they can see that you've just got to go really hard and early if you've got any shot at controlling it. So,
absolutely. I believe there's
everybody's complying very well.
That's good to hear. I believe there's been a few more cases emerging as we speak this morning. But let's get to the topic at hand. You're hugely successful business-wise, Beck, but not so successful when it came to love and your want of starting a family, which you've been able to do. But you set out, prior to finding your husband and then having children, on a rather epic adventure, didn't you?
I did. So, yeah, the story was I was 34 years old. I hadn't been on a single date in 10 years. So I had been very focused on my career. I also... my first partner was sadly killed in an accident in my 20s. So that kind of started grief. And then I just got stuck and I was embarrassed to put myself on the internet and I was afraid of getting rejected. So I just didn't do anything. And then I got to 34 and it was Christmas and I was alone with my parents. And I thought, right, this is not how I'd hoped life would go. I'd hoped to have little kids running around and a family and love. And so I thought, okay, if I've got to solve this problem, you know, I'll approach it in a similar way to the way I approach business, which is just set a goal and stick to it. And so I set myself this goal of going on one date every week for an entire year. And that was the start of the epic adventure.
So was that one virtual date?
No. So this is back in 2012. So that was back when you could do real dates. So one real date every week for a year. So I went on initially just eHarmony and then I added RSVP and Tinder eventually as well. And I signed up for classes. I did everything I could to get like as many potential candidates. And then I kind of worked out strategically how to filter people down to get like that one. And eventually I did more than one date a week. It took me 3 years and a massive amount of learning in that time. But I figured it all out in the end.
So you ended up dating 138 different men from Sydney to New York, Beck, and out of that you found your husband, I'm assuming. So what goals and rules did you have in mind and in play whilst you were on these 138 different dates?
Yeah, it's a great question. I started knowing nothing, so I figured it all out as I went. And you know, I've got to say, it was a journey of becoming the right person as much as it was about finding the right person. So there's lots of kind of personal growth through that journey. But in terms of finding the right person, I mean, I learned pretty quickly that, for example, like you know, I'd turn up at a date with someone I'd spoken to online a couple of times and realized very quickly that it was not a good match. And even though they might be very nice, it just was like it was not going to go anywhere. And that's kind of an awkward experience for everyone because you've got to go through the rejection process. And so I thought, okay, I could limit my exposure to these kind of events by having screening calls. So that was one thing I had in my process is I would have talked to lots of people online. Then every Sunday afternoon, I would have 3 to 5 calls set up. And then from the calls, I would go and go on dates with one or two people. But the screening calls in themselves were really, turned out to be a great idea because, you know, you can weed out some, there are some strange people online. I'd say majority, great majority are genuine people who are looking for an emotional relationship as well. You know, almost all of my 138 dates were nice experiences. But and if people didn't want to have a phone call, then they obviously weren't serious about looking for it, the kind of relationship I was looking for. So that in itself was a good screen. So that was just one thing. There's a gazillion things. But
Beck, you and I were introduced to each other by a mutual friend, Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au, and she sent me an email. She said, PT, please make sure you ask Beck about the most awkward date that she went on.
Oh, awkward date. I mean, there was some awkward dates. I mean, that example I gave you before when you just wasn't a match. So one was, you know, I thought, oh, this guy's going to be very smart. He's a game programmer, and he turned out to be a gamer, so someone who plays games all day at his parents' house, which was like, and it was nice, but it was, I could have figured out on the phone call that this was not a good idea. There was some very awkward experiences, like as I, figured out what I was, you know, what I set out looking for was very different. You know, I changed what I thought was important as I went through the process. At the very beginning, I was looking for smart, tall, and fun. And then I went to my therapist, and she's a big character in the book, and she gives me lots of advice. But I remember her laughing at me when I said this list, and she said, I wonder how many dates it will take to figure out that that's not a great list before you change your priorities.
Smart, tall, and fun.
Yes.
So, Beck,
and then I worked.
Sorry, just to intervene there, you were after smart, tall, and fun. What did you end up with?
Nice, caring. That's the most important thing, much more important than smart and fun. You know, self-reflective. I think the ability to, when you have a disagreement, to be able to both step back and look at the other person's perspective and come to a position, you know, in the middle. And you know, generally positive, someone who's not negative, and then obviously like aligned values and being able to have good conversations. Those are all important, and some shared interests. But yes, smart. Oh no, tall is just a ridiculous thing, which I think I went on one date with someone who told me that he only dates blondes and doesn't date women over 35. And I thought that was just so superficial, and I was horrified. And then I realized that actually my criteria of tall is pretty much the same thing. So discriminating based on something people can't control. So then I removed that and started looking. Eventually, you know, I met someone who was smart and fun, but wasn't very nice. So I worked out that was nice is the thing that was missing. And I told my therapist this, and she said, nice is good to come home to.
Absolutely. Rebecca, the question then begs, are you happy with your lot in life now?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's important to note that it's not like it's not like God kind of came down and was like, this is your soulmate. Yeah, this person will make everything perfect. I don't think that is what happened. So, you know, I had been through a big transformation before I met Rod, which is in the book. But he was my next date after that event. And we just connected. We had a very authentic conversation. He was a teacher, and he talked about why he became a teacher, and I just thought, this is a really good person, and I'm going to make this work. So it wasn't like, you know, it's not like we don't argue or that there isn't, you know, there's never issues. There are, we're different. But it was really, we're going to make this work. So yes, we're very happy. But, you know, it's not perfect. Perfect is not just a realistic thing to aim for.
No such thing as perfect, Beck. 138 dates, the true story of one woman's search for everything, finding love and what she learned along the way. I can't wait to read it myself. Beck, before we go, you mentioned at the start about New Zealand's lockdown and how everyone over there is doing the right thing. Not so much in Melbourne and Sydney. Have you got a message for our good people in Melbourne and Sydney?
I mean, it's hard, right? Because you guys have had so many more lockdowns than us. And I think we also have the benefit of seeing what's happened to you guys. So yes, I look outside today, I can't see a single car on the road. I just went for a little walk, there's nobody out. So yeah, my message would be, you know, obviously stay safe, get vaccinated, and you know, stay at home. and hopefully we can all get through this.
Absolutely,
Rebecca. And we'd love to see you again. We'd love to be travelling to Australia back again. So.
Yeah. Back and forth, indeed, would be a fantastic thing. Yeah. Rebecca Campbell, great to talk to you. Thank you for sharing your insights where business and love are concerned. And you guys over there, stay COVID safe, all right?
Thank you. Thanks so much. And same to you.
That's a pleasure. It's 10 to 9.